Hey, I'm Matt McCall, and thanks for joining me this week on Moneyline. We got a big show coming up, and I'm looking at the topics we're going to talk about. I got a laundry list of stuff that we're going to talk about this week. A lot of stock symbols, so get your pencil, get your pad ready to write those down. We're talking gold, we're talking crypto, we're talking where markets are heading right now, what's going on with COVID, how's it changing the world, where we're going to be. All coming up this week on Moneyline.
The buck starts here. Moneyline with Matt McCall.
All right, thanks for joining me again. This is Matt McCall here. This is Moneyline. It is April 24th. I have to actually look down to see the date because in this crazy time, I lose track of days sometimes. I woke up this morning super early. I thought it was Saturday. I was so happy to find that it wasn't. You know, most people say, boy, I can't wait till Saturday. Saturdays and Sundays are boring for me because the stock market's closed. I get so excited at Sunday night at 9:30 Eastern because I could start watching my stocks, how they trade in China. So to me, it was so happy to know that this was Friday. It was happy to know that I had to do a podcast today. I did a little question on Twitter this morning. I asked some questions for people, what they wanted me to talk about. We got a couple of things. We're going to talk about that. But we have a really, really big show ahead. A lot of topics, so we're going to go pretty quick. But number one, let's, of course, look at the market, what's going on. It's almost noon here on Friday, so we have about a little over 4 hours left in trading for the week. It's going to be a down week unless something turns around here dramatically. Right now, the Dow is basically unchanged, down about 25 points, so down 0.1%. For the week, the market's down about 2%. Again, really doesn't sound that horrible, right? I mean, if I had told you you're down 2% 3 months ago, 4 months ago, I'd be like, ooh, it's a pretty down week, big down week. You look at a chart, though, and it's actually holding up really well. So I'm impressed at where we're standing right now with the markets. We had this amazing, we'll call it a bear market rally, call it a dead cat bounce, call it whatever you want. We had a huge rally off the middle of March, and we've been, for the most part, able to hold that. And that's a great sign. A V-shaped recovery we talked about, we come down and we go right back up like a V. That was December of 2018 into January of 2019. I don't think that happens. Some people may think it does. I don't think that's a possibility personally. But what we are seeing is the fact that we aren't having this bear market rally and come right back down and test. We've held up very well. Could we retest the bottom? Sure. I don't think we do personally. But I think that we unless something dramatically horrible happens with the opening or the reopening, I should say, of this country and other countries, and it gets pushed back months and months, we should be good without having to retest the lows. Certain stocks will. Of course, certain stocks are never going to come close to the lows that they've seen. I've talked about this in the past. But for the most part, I think we're pretty good. All that being said, I've had a lot of questions. We did a new portfolio for Early Stage Investor. That is my newsletter where we focus on stocks that are under $2 billion, so small and micro-cap stocks. And we came out with a new portfolio on April 1st. We added three stocks. The plan was for the next 5 weeks, add one more stock. I've talked about this before, but I want to keep talking about it because to me, it's the best strategy to get back into the market, to piecemeal it in, leg it in, whatever you want to call it. And we added one more stock the week after. We added another stock last week. So now we're up to five positions. We're going to get up to eight, potentially more. So the plan was add another stock this week. A few that I'm watching as potential buys, I don't like where they are right now. It's not that I don't like the stock or the company. What differentiates really what I do and what a lot of other people do is I look at the big picture. I'm an amateur futurist trying to predict where the future is going to be, look at big trends where money's flowing, and then try to pick the best companies and those trends to take advantage of that next 10 years. Buying PCs back in the day, buying internet, buying into solar power a few years ago, whatever it might be, semiconductor chips, buying into 4G, now it's 5G. Trying to find the big trends and then go from there. What differentiates me from a lot of other people that do what I do is instead of just being long-term, I do use the charts. The first book I wrote was called The Swing Trader's Bible. I wrote it with my old assistant. And that book was based on reading charts. And that's kind of how I got into this business 20 years ago. So I will use the charts to tell me when to get in, when to get out. Don't get me wrong. I've said this for years. You can't pick the bottom. You can't pick the top. But I look for a sweet spot. So some of the companies that I was looking to add this week, I think it could pull back maybe a little bit next week, or just aren't the greatest risk reward at this point in the short term. So I hold off. So if you're subscribers, you already got the email, you know about that. We're going to hold off, but we're still guaranteeing three more stocks in the crisis and opportunity portfolio. But I will say this, since April 1st, The market's up, I think, 14%, 14.3, something like that, as of yesterday's close, as of Thursday's close. Our portfolio of five stocks is up 37.3%. We already had one stock double. And keep in mind that three of the stocks have been in there from day one. One's only been in there a little over a week, and one's only been in there a little over 2 weeks. So we don't even have the full time frame. And we're still up that much. So this is the strategy that I'm going to continue to go. So we're gonna keep updating you on that and letting you know how that portfolio does, because that's a good testament of what I do, because I've been putting my name on the line here to buy at this point, and I'll continue. I'm not sharing the stocks, obviously, because people pay a lot of money for it, but I will let you know our performance and how it's doing. So, update. I wasn't going to update on COVID, I'm not a doctor, but what I see is I look at the charts. Things are slowly getting better in really every metropolitan area in this country. Most countries are getting much better as well. Hopefully this warm weather starts, another dreary day here in Baltimore. But hopefully we start seeing some weather come out that typically knocks out the average flu. So we're moving along on the right lines. The economy hopefully start reopen soon. Obviously you want to be safe and open at the right time in the right way. But hopefully we soon, hopefully get more testing out there. And again, the key word here is I'm hopeful, I'm optimistic that we will get through this. And again, it's just a great long-term buying opportunity. Well, we are now in earnings season. So I don't want to get too much into this, but so far of the companies that reported, I think there's about 15% or so of the S&P 500 reported so far. And we're looking for about a 15% decline year over year in earnings. When the year started, we thought the first quarter would be a gain in earnings, but obviously nobody saw COVID coming, so that's changed that dramatically. What I find fascinating is of the companies that have reported from the S&P 500, no negative guidance for next quarter, which is crazy. Three companies had positive guidance, and almost everybody's pulling 2020 guidance. So let's explain that. The reason it's not negative guidance is because people don't even know what the hell to guide. The fact that three companies had positive guidance is amazing. I didn't have a chance to see what the three companies were. So what we're seeing is we're not seeing negative guidance, but we're not seeing any guidance at all. And even the companies that have come out with strong Q1s, and there's been quite a few of them, are pulling guidance for the rest of the year. What that means is a company puts out guidance, what they think their sales and what their earnings will be for the remainder of 2020. All publicly traded companies do it. They are not, a lot of companies are saying we're not providing that guidance anymore because we don't know how this is going to affect the economy. We don't know when we can reopen the office. And that makes sense, pull it. However, that's going to create a lot of volatility between now and third quarter when hopefully things get back to normal, because you have no expectations. And the analysts that cover these, they're good. They do the best they can. But you'll see the discrepancies between somebody predicts that they're going to earn $3 a share and somebody says $1.50. Well, that's a big difference. There's a big gap in there. So you're going to see a lot of volatility based on that. You're going to see a lot of opportunity based on that, because you're going to see a lot of companies that get beaten up because of the lack of guidance, but end up actually coming out of this strong and potentially even stronger. So that's something to think about. But just keep in mind, earnings season's here. Earnings season will add a little more volatility on a typical year because we have companies beating, missing, guiding higher, guiding lower. We're not seeing a lot of guidance, like I said, but we will see a lot of movement here on stocks in the next 2 weeks as a lot of big name companies continue to report earnings for the first quarter. So keep that in mind. Question of the day. I wanted to get this out earlier, but here's a question of the day. And again, don't forget to, if watching this on YouTube, which you probably are, hit like, subscribe, notifications. We'll let you know if anything new and exciting comes out. We also want comments. I try to read all the comments when I can. There's only like 40 or 50 a week, so I can easily get through them. Good, bad, ugly, I try to comment on most, and I appreciate people who take time to do that. I really do. But I'd like to do a question each week. And this question is, if you had an opportunity right now, whether it's $100, $1,000, $10,000, $1 million, I was given to you, and you had a choice to buy one of two asset classes, would you buy into cryptocurrencies or would you buy into gold or gold stocks? I'll give you three: gold stocks, or cryptocurrencies. And by cryptocurrencies, you could buy Bitcoin, you could buy one of our altcoins that we have in our altcoin service, whatever, just buy cryptocurrencies. So I'm curious of what people have to say about that. Gold miners, so the gold mine stocks, or cryptocurrencies. So comment below. You can give an explanation for one as well, but please feel free to comment below. So hopefully you had your answer made up, but I'm going to talk about the two asset classes right now, because people keep asking about it. So I'm not a gold bug, and many of you know that. Very little exposure. I do have a little exposure to GDX, which is the gold miners ETF for my clients at Penn Financial Group. That's my asset management company. So I always give disclosure if I own anything when I talk about it, or if it's in our newsletter. I always want to give disclosure. And there'd be times I forget, so I would do my best here. But and again, these are no means anything recommendations that I talk about here. Keep that in mind. So we have some GDX. It's just been doing well. So if you take a look at what GDX has done, you know, it's done really, really well. It's broken out here in the last week to the best level that it's been at since going back to 2013. So it's had a hell of a run. Would I buy it here? I don't know. I mean, we have it for our clients, and it's part of a overall portfolio that was built with some exposure to the gold mining stocks. And obviously, it's done very well for us this year. So it's been a nice hedge against the overall stock market. But what I was looking at was GDX versus GDXJ versus some of the gold miners. So let me just tell you real quick. GDX is a basket of the larger gold mining stocks. GDXJ, J stands for juniors, is a basket of the smaller, small cap mining companies, often called juniors. So that's the big difference. And then, of course, there's individual stocks, such as, let's say, Newmont Mining is a number one holding in GDX. It's one of the largest out there. So the symbol for Newmont Mining is NEM, and that stock has done extremely well. Hit a new high this week. As a matter of fact, again, the highest level since going back to 2012 for Newmont Mining, symbol NEM. No exposure to that one. So what do you do? Who do you invest in? And somebody asked me this the other day. I said, I don't know if I chase it here, but if you had to buy something, which three would you buy? The GDX, which is a basket of large cap, GDXJ, the small caps, or an individual stock such as Newmont Mining. And my first inclination is to stay away from the juniors because a lot of the juniors, they do not have a lot of cash flow. They're not producing gold yet, so they're not creating a lot of revenue and definitely not creating any earnings. For the most part, so they could get in trouble with a cash crunch if they can't borrow money. And if we get into a situation where the economy stays where it is for longer, they're going to have some cash issues, and a lot of them have a lot of debt as well. So they may not ever get that mine to production. So too much risk for me, and they've greatly underperformed. If you look at the performance, they have greatly, greatly underperformed. You know, I'm looking at over the last year. And if you take a look, let's, for example, Newmont Mining the last year is up 95%. At the same time, the gold miners, the GDX, is up 62%. And then the junior is only up 45%. So that's interesting over the last 12 months. But if you look at, how about year to date? This is really important. Newmont Mining, year to date, up 43%. We have the GDX, the large cap guys, up 13%. And then we have the small guys down 4.6%. So GDXJ is down 4.6. At the same time, the gold miners at GDX, the big guys, are up 13%. So you look at about 17, almost 18% difference year to date. That's a big difference in about 3.5 months. And again, then you have Newmont Mining up 45, more than tripling the return of GDX. Of course, you're taking more risk in the individual stock. So long answer here, but let's break it down. I prefer the bigger names if I'm going to be in it. And reward versus risk, probably GDX, because you take away that company specific risk of any one company. So that's just kind of my thought process on that. I know a lot of people were asking about how to play gold. I guess another way to do it is if you say, listen, I just want to play gold itself. You know, for example, just buy, you know, physical gold maybe, or the gold ETF. There's one of them's GLD, and that's up year to date, up almost 13%. So that's kind of right in line with where we've seen the gold miners. And it was outperforming the gold miners all year until like the last month. The gold miners have really taken off and caught up with the actual physical gold. You know, for me, I don't know. You're going to take a little more risk with the gold miners, in my opinion, but more upside. So it depends on what you want as far as risk to reward. All right, so that's my view on gold, and a lot of people asked about that. I hope that helps. Then cryptos. It's on the other side of the question. Again, the question of the week, do you want to own cryptos, gold miners, or gold bullion, just actual gold? So to give you an idea, Bitcoin's had a hell of a run here in the last 24 hours or so. It's really starting to break out, which I really like to see. We have some new recommendations coming out, which is great because the timing, I think, is really good. We have Bitcoin back above 7,500. And I was looking at the performance. of our we have a service called Ultimate Crypto, and that's a basket of altcoins, so it's short for alternative coins. So it's going to be the smaller coins, not Bitcoin, but not the top five. So it's going to be a little bit smaller, usually in the top 50 in market cap for coins, but they're going to be definitely smaller and probably not as recognizable as some of the big names like Bitcoin, Ethereum, Bitcoin Cash, Litecoin. So we have six coins in there now, and we started that in the first week in January. So I looked at the performance of the six combined, and this is as of earlier today. The portfolio is up 3%. Doesn't sound like much, but considering the S&P is down 14% in the same time frame, I'm actually happy with it. So you're beating the market by 17%. And the goal for a lot of people for cryptocurrencies is to add diversification, to get away from so much exposure to equities. So this is a great way to gain that exposure. I also believe that the fact that they've held up this well in this type of crazy world, they're setting up for a huge rally in the next 12 to 24 months, if not longer. Long-term, I love them. I'm looking at years. I love cryptos personally. I own a lot myself. So I have my money where my mouth is when it comes to this, obviously in stocks too. But when it comes to cryptos, we have a big event coming up on May 13th. Yeah, I've talked about this. I'm just going to talk about it really brief right now. It's called a halving. Sometimes they call it halving as well. That's when the rewards for mining of Bitcoin gets cut in half. It's happened two other times in history, 2012, 2016. Now, the date that they're targeting looks like it's going to happen around May 13th. So not too long away. What's that, three weeks or so away? So that's right around the corner, folks. So, and historically speaking, the year after that happens, Bitcoin and the altcoins explode higher. And I see the same thing happening. It sounds too easy sometimes when you have dates like this and you have patterns, but I see it happening. And then you add in the extra layer of the fact that fiat currencies, and somebody asked me what fiat currencies were recently, and I should explain that. Fiat currencies are the currencies that you think of, the dollar, the euro, the yen, that can be created by governments so they can keep printing more. So it's the big currencies I can think of. The difference with Bitcoin is there are only is a limited amount of only 21 million coins that will ever be in circulation, existence. There's over 18 million that have been mined already. They don't think that we top out for another, like, I think 120 years because the mining is going to slow down quite a bit. So it's a supply-demand issue. The supply is not going to be increasing very much at all. If about 85% is already in circulation, that's a big number. And then you think about the U.S. dollar, we already have over $6 trillion in stimulus. As I've mentioned, I think we get over $10 trillion by the time this is all said and done. That money comes from somewhere, folks. There's a very big printing press in the basement of D.C. that is printing out money right now. And that money's being printed out lowers the value of that dollar in your wallet every single time. That will not happen with Bitcoin and with many altcoins. You don't have that situation. So this is just another reason to look to diversify out of fiat currencies and into cryptocurrencies and altcoins. So again, we have four new altcoins coming out. I think I haven't picked my business partner in there. He's over in the Middle East right now. We've been going back and forth. I think we have the four ready to go, but we're not going to release those until next week, but we're just fine tuning it. But man, I'm excited for really, really great new altcoins. It's going to get our portfolio up to 10, which I think is the best 10 altcoins to own going forward for the next couple of years. Put it away, let it go, and that's going to be a really, really happy place for you, I believe, in a few years. All right, so any other questions on cryptos, feel free to ask those in the comments below as well. And I'm going to talk about a couple questions that people asked on Twitter before we went live here this morning. And one of them was about the space race. And I think they asked how quickly we'll be living on Mars. I don't know about that. I think you could ask Elon Musk that. But there's not many companies out there to really play this whole space race, if you will, to get to Mars. And to build potentially a colony on the moon or on Mars. People keep looking at Mars. The one stock that is public that had a lot of fanfare right before this whole sell-off in the market is Virgin Galactic Holdings, and that's symbol SPCE. That was what's called a SPAC, Special Purpose Acquisition Corp. So the SPACs trade at 10 bucks. So what happens is people pull money together into this Special Purpose Acquisition Corp, a SPAC. It's publicly traded, and then they have that money with the intention of buying a company. or merging with a company. So this one merged and bought, got shares of Virgin Galactic, which is Richard Branson's space odyssey, basically. So the stock after that happened ran up to above $40 a share right in mid-February before all this shit hit the fan. It then pulled all the way back down in that March timeframe. We pulled all the way down, back down to $9. It fell below that $10 it started at. We're back up to 16 right now. Went to 20, now we're at 16. You know, this is a company that's not going to be bringing a lot of revenue on for quite some time. It's not like it's an airline where they can just keep having planes take off every second. It's not going to be the same. And you're really, this isn't not taking you to the moon or Mars. It's taking you into outer space, but not into the moon or Mars at this point. So that's one stock if you want to take a flyer that you can take in consideration. Elon Musk's SpaceX is not publicly traded, but that's a company that's obviously doing a lot with rockets and all types of other things. So I don't know if there's a lot of plays here right now. There's also the big aerospace defense companies you can look at for this that have some deals with these other companies. It could be some material companies that can work this out and take advantage of it. But for right now, that's the only one that we really have. Another question, and it's about a company actually that was a SPAC as well. Again, Special Purpose Acquisition Corp. And the symbol on that was DEAC, Delta, Eagle, Alpha, Charlie. And that's a Diamond Eagle Acquisition Corp. So when they got the money together, they decided to merge with a company and take over DraftKings, which, you know anything about fantasy football or fantasy sports, I'm sure if you don't do it, somebody in your household or some family or friend that does it or somebody in the office. So you've heard of fantasy sports, obviously. Big deal. Granted, it's been kind of non-existent now because there's no sports going on. But so that stock, again, was at $10, rallied up to about $19, fell all the way back down to 11 in March with what was going on. But just today, the approval went through. I mean, there was basically 100% it was going to go through anyway, but now they changed the symbol. The symbol is now DKNG for DraftKings, and it's officially company's called DraftKings now, not called Diamond Eagle Acquisition Corp anymore. So that's a pretty interesting play. Stock rallied on the news, which is funny to me because I should have bought it for myself because you knew it was going to happen, and I didn't think people would be that dumb to just realize that it wasn't already DraftKings. But the stock's up about 8% on the news to $19 right now. It was well above $20 this morning as people were buying it. Pre-market, I think it was $22 or $23. It's trading near its all-time high, and the future for DraftKings is huge. So I'd have to do more work into the fundamentals, but it's definitely something that's on my radar right now. And speaking of SPACs, we've had some success in the past. We bought one called MTEC Corp. Back in the day, it was MTEC. It eventually merged with a company called Akerna, which it was a new name. It was MG Freeway, and then it became Akerna, which is a software company for the cannabis sector. And that was our winner that went up over 500% in 2 days, believe it or not. We took some off the table with like a 560% gain. So that was a SPAC that we did. I own a SPAC right now for myself. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but it's one that has the intentions to buy into a crypto exchange, crypto company overseas. Still around a $10 range. Nothing's happened yet, but if it does, you know, I think it could be a huge winner, especially if cryptos take off. But that's what I bought for myself. And again, I don't buy and sell the stocks that I recommend to subscribers, so that's why I don't mention it. I have to keep some for myself. And again, the other question was a couple of these. When is a new crisis and opportunity stock pick coming out for our subscribers to our early stage investor newsletter? As I just mentioned before, we're waiting until next week, and you've gotten an email by now with a plan of how to do that. I just mentioned cannabis, so let's keep on that topic. A lot of people ask about cannabis, and you know, we've taken some big profits in cannabis over the last couple of years. We have some that are down big because we bought in over the last few years as well, or last year, I should say, earlier this 2019. And I still believe in the cannabis industry. I don't think it's going anywhere. If anything, it's going to come out of this even stronger. The companies that don't make it will go by the wayside. The ones that do will come out on top. So my view on this is staying strong. The thing is, federal legalization is what I really need for these stocks to take off. And because the feds are busy doing something else right now, trying to get our country back to work, dealing with this COVID pandemic, I get why they're not focusing on it. I did see there was a bill that was out, though, that did put relief in there for cannabis companies. So I hope that does go through. I didn't see all the details, but I saw that was a few senators did put that in there. So I hope to see that. But again, I'm staying strong with it. I believe in a long term of cannabis. It's going to be no different than alcohol in the future. It's going to be available everywhere. And I still think there's huge, huge upside for people who have that long term capability to hold on to something and ride it down, ride it up. I think now is a great buying opportunity, especially for some of the US based companies. The US based companies have held up much better this year than some of the Canadian ones. So I tend to lead towards the US based, not all of them, but definitely the US based cannabis companies for sure. Okay, I want to touch on that because people kept asking. Kind of switching gears here for a minute. Again, we call it a lot of topics today, but the reason I'm doing this is because I feel like there's a lot of stuff out there, a lot of things I want to share with you. And if there's certain topics you want to hear more on, I'm okay to dedicate a show to it as well. Let us know in the comments below. But it's about thinking internationally. And this just happens to be about China. You know, I talk about China a lot and the investment opportunities over there, and we've done great investing in China. I mean, there's a lot of really good opportunities over there. We talk about China biotech, how strong that has been. You know, there's two ETFs that kind of focus on Chinese healthcare and biotech. One we talked about is Crane Shares, which is symbol KURE. That broke out today to a new year, or sorry, this week to a new year high. The other one is the Loncar, which is CHNA. It's a Loncar China Biopharma ETF. We had Brad Loncar on the podcast not too long ago. And the guy behind Crane Shares, he's been wanting to get on a podcast too. So once we get back to normal, I'm going to have him come on. He's a great guy as far as China's concerned. I spent some time with him last March in Beijing and Shanghai. Knows the market very, very well. One of the first to bring some really good Chinese ETFs here to people in the States. So with CHNA, which is Brad's ETF, the Loncar China Biopharma ETF, not far from a year high as well. That's had a huge rally up to March low, just looking at the chart over here now. So they've held up real well. And then say think internationally, think outside of, okay, you know, people looking for, and we're gonna talk about some COVID stocks here in a minute. COVID stocks, how do I invest in maybe the vaccine company, maybe the testing companies, the treatments, whatever it might be. Ventilator makers. Well, that's how I came across this company. It's called Shenzhen Mindray. It's kind of a funny name. It trades over in China on the Shanghai Exchange. And over there, they don't have letters. They have numbers. It's almost actually easier sometimes. So their number is 300760. So if you put in Yahoo Finance, let's say, it's 300760.SZ, as in Sam's Z. It's a $45 billion company. Year to date, it's up 47%. It's nearly doubled in the last year. Do you want to know why? Well, the reason it has is because this company is supplying ventilators here to the United States. It has FDA approval to supply ventilators here. I mean, just think about this. I mean, this is something where I hope that we don't ever have to deal with this again, but there's probably a chance we're gonna have to deal with some type of pandemic, and they typically tend to be respiratory type infections. And also feel like even if nothing does happen, we tend to over prepare for the next potential possibility of something negative to happen that's similar to what's going on now. So you'll see hospitals and healthcare facilities around the world overbuy ventilators, which is fine. I have no problem with it, but they will overbuy. It's a pendulum. We always swing too far. We didn't have enough, we'll have way too much. So they're a big ventilator maker. Another company that's very similar to this is, I'm going to butcher this name, so please don't even hold me to it. Zhengsu Yuyu. The symbol on this one trades on Shanghai as well is 002223. So it's 002223.SZ. And that's about a $6.5 billion company, up 75% year to date. Again, a company is supplying some ventilators FDA approved in the United States. So these aren't just some crazy Chinese companies. Like I said, $45 billion and $6.5 billion companies. These are types of investment opportunities if you think outside of the borders. You know, it's I love supporting America, I love supporting American companies, but when it comes to making money, we have to realize there's so many other large economies out there, and so many great companies out there that are based outside of just what we have here. China has, what, 1.3-ish billion people? We have 350 million? I mean, there's a lot of opportunity. You could hate China all you want, and if you don't want to support them, you don't have to. For me, I'm just looking for investment opportunities, and I don't feel by talking about stocks like this or investing in stocks like this that I'm in any way supporting anything negative. If anything, I'm supporting a company supplying ventilators to our people. So let's think about this logically sometimes before you start getting mad at me for liking China. I don't own either of those, just by the way. I do own one, and I hadn't shared it in the past, but I'll share it now because I don't think it's a buy anymore. I'm already up, I think, 80 or some percent on it. It's called CanSino Biologics. This one trades on the Hang Seng in Hong Kong. This one, the symbol is 6185.hk. 6185.hk. And that's CanSino Biologics. They're working on a vaccine for COVID. But I love the stock. I love the stock before. I bought it before COVID, as a matter of fact, before this came out. And like I said, it was a double at one point. It's pulled back a little bit, but I think it's still up like 80%, if not more, since I bought it earlier this year. So to me, there's great opportunity internationally. These are just three stocks I'm throwing out at you. But please, just don't ignore the companies because you never heard of them. They have funny names. You don't know where the ticker symbol is. It might take a little more work to buy them. I will say, though, I have an Interactive Brokers account where I do my investing overseas. It takes, maybe 30 minutes to set up. You get your paperwork, you click off all that you want to trade in all the exchanges around the world. It does a currency conversion for you. I mean, it takes a little more work, folks, but man, nothing in this life that's amazing comes easy. It takes a little more work. And something like this, please just, if you say to me, hey, Matt, this isn't for me, then fine. I mean, no hard feelings, but I do think that you should think outside the borders. And I think there's a lot of opportunity out there in Asia, in Europe. I think there's going to be a great opportunity in Africa in the next 10 to 15 years. I don't have any stocks there right now, but I think there's going to be a great opportunity there. So let's just keep that in mind when we look forward, that we need to think outside the box. Before I wrap it up here, COVID stocks. You know, people always like to hear ticker symbols. So let's go to some COVID stocks. These are a couple of stocks that have held up well and have some pretty interesting business models. The first one is Slack Technology, symbols WORK, W-O-R-K. We use Slack in our business and it's to talk to people. It's like instant messenger to me. You can share files that way. I think it's kind of annoying, honestly. I forget to log in half the time and people are emailing me, hey, check your Slack. But I know people love it. A lot of businesses use it. So the stock's held up really well. It hit a high. The stock itself hasn't done well over time. It went public last June around $40 a share. It's at 26.25 now. But we rallied up in February, in mid-February, to the best level in about 5 months, near the $30 level. We then came close to $30 again end of March and again last week. We've pulled back a little since then. If we break above 30, man, I think this stock could really take off. So that's one to keep an eye on because, you know, there's something where it'd be more people working remotely even when we get back to normal. Along those same lines, Ring Central. Many of you know I like this stock. This stock is in our power portfolio. Louis Navelier and I put together a portfolio at the end of December of last year for our best stocks for 2020. We call it the Power Portfolio. We brought together his quantitative research, my big picture research, and one of the stocks we came up with, again, way before COVID, was Ring, RNG, Ring Central. We use this one for work as well. I just used it twice this morning. It came up to a high this week. If it can break above that 251, 252, it's a triple top there, almost a reverse head and shoulders. This stock takes off. It's a company I really liked before, and I like it even more after. Here's one that I don't have any exposure to, but I consider buying for myself. I wish I would have. I talked about this, I think, in March, when it was down around $20. Now it's at 32. It was almost at 40 last week. This is Peloton Interactive, PTON. This is obviously the bikes, the really high-end bikes, several $1,000s, stationary bike with the big screen on it. You could do live classes. You could do tape classes. All kinds of plans on there. And it's a monthly fee, then you pay for this fee. So what I love about it is it's got a recurring business model. You buy it very expensive, but then you have recurring after that. You know, with gyms being shut down, again, you all know I own a small fitness facility. We've been shut down. We switched to virtual, which has been great. But obviously, I'm ready to get back open. And Peloton, I know a lot of people have been buying Peloton bikes. I know they're back ordered. And what's great about Peloton is they have a great retention rate. People who buy their bikes typically hang around for a long time. You don't have high turnover. That's a great, great business model, folks. So it's one to keep an eye on as well. This is one of the stocks that's really torn. People love or hate it. I'm kind of middle. I'm leaning towards love. Not yet, but I'm leaning towards it. Another one is C Limited, still SC. I might have talked about this one before. This is a Singapore-based company, Southeast Asian gaming company. This thing has done extremely well. Going back to last year around this time, the stock was in the mid-20s. It's at 53.88 today, so more than doubled in the last year. Hit a new all-time high this week as well. Gaming is just, it's not going anywhere. And being stuck in our house, if anything, is accelerating gaming, part of that new normal that I talked about. Another one is part of the new normal, but it was also a strong company before this. as Citrix Systems, you know, works with the virtual desktops. Again, a company that hit a new all-time high this week. It's pulling back a little bit from there, but CTXS is a symbol. I don't see this going anywhere anytime soon. Was a strong company prior to this, in my opinion. And one more, which hasn't done as well, and I'm so, kind of surprised, and I'm doing a little more deep research on it. I listened to a podcast with the CEO recently. I'm trying to get him on here. And this company is called 2U, symbols T-W-O-U. It's an online education company. They have deals with some of the big firms, universities, Harvard, you name it, Penn. To me, this is a company that's set up well. The stock has just struggled, though. It's done nothing. I mean, this stock back in April of last year, was in the 60s, is at 21 now. So maybe I'm missing something, but it's still on my radar, and I'm just trying to figure this out. This may be a stock that we recommend at some point. Definitely not buy now until I figure out what the hell's going on and why it's not enjoying this rally, because if anybody should be joining a rally right now, it's online education stocks. All right, so I threw a lot of ticker symbols out at you. Don't forget to like the podcast, subscribe, get notifications, comment below. The question of the week, remember, what would you buy right now if I gave you money, or if money fell from the sky? Gold, gold mining stocks, or cryptos? Just put that in the comments below. We'll go over the answer next week. I think you probably know my answer, but I'll give you my in-depth answer next week. But again, thanks so much. Please check out our website where we do free articles all the time. My team and I are always busting out articles. All kinds of free stuff on there. Check out our services as well. They start as low as $49 a year, so we have something for everybody. Everything from small cap to large cap to cryptos to covered calls. We got it all. So please head over to McCallMoneyWire.com. It's McCallMoneyWire.com. Again, thank you so much for watching and the support that you've given us through this. I really appreciate it. And as my hair gets longer, my backdrop in my condo here, hopefully we'll be back in the studio here very soon. And hopefully we'll all get back to normal here very soon. Again, thank you so much. But enjoy your weekend. Hopefully get some sun, get out there, get some fresh air, go hug somebody you love. Hug somebody you don't. But make sure 6 feet away, air hug. Maybe be good with that. But again, I am Matt McCall, and this has been your Moneyline.
Thanks for listening to Moneyline with Matt McCall. To find more information, head over to McCallMoneyWire.com. That's McCallMoneyWire.com.